This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
Tonight we are live from the winter meetings in Washington, D.C. until 9 o'clock Pacific time. Welcome, everybody, to Nissan Dodger Talk, another off-season edition of Dodger Talk. And we are taking your phone calls tonight at 866-987-2570. Also joining us on the show tonight will be Rich Hill, who signed that three-year, $48 million deal with the Dodgers yesterday. Dodger manager Dave Roberts will join us, and also a man that has been linked via trade rumors to the Dodgers, Minnesota Twins second baseman Brian Dozier, will join us later in the show. But I think everybody right now is wondering what's going on with the Dodgers' two most popular free agents, Justin Turner and Kenley Jansen. And let's start with Justin, because I think he's a guy that has a better chance of playing for the Dodgers in 2017. And being in Andrew Friedman's suite the last two nights with the other members of the media, as we do during the winter meetings, have a briefing around 4:30, 4:45, Eastern time here in Washington, D.C. He tries to give us some answers and try to fill us in as much as possible. Really, right now, there's not much to say because the Dodgers do have a lot of things in play here, since they do have a lot of positions to fill, namely second base. Right now, you would still consider third base a vacancy with Turner being a free agent. Also, Joe Blanton being a free agent along with Kenley Jansen, the Dodgers have to remake the back end of their bullpen. But Justin Turner is still the Dodgers' plan A at third base, and Andrew Friedman seemed pretty confident that they will be able to re-sign Justin, and there have been reports that the market for Justin Turner is not as robust as he may have hoped for going into free agency. But I'm not sure about that. But one thing I do know is that Justin does want to stay with the Dodgers, and the Dodgers do want him back. And that's a recipe for at least the foundation or framework for a deal. So the Dodgers have not closed the door on Justin Turner, and he has not closed the door on the Dodgers, from what I've been told. So I think there is still a very good possibility of re-signing with the Dodgers. The one thing that my question is, why not just get the deal done? Both parties want each other. Just make it happen. The Dodgers should pay him the fair market value, and he should accept whatever is the fair market value. And I don't think his end is the issue. I think it's more what is going on with the Dodgers and what options they have. But I don't see the Dodgers and Justin Turner parting ways at this point in time. From everything I can gather, talking to Andrew Friedman the last couple of days and being on the lobby floor here in Washington, D.C. Now, if things don't come together for the Dodgers and Justin Turner, a couple of other options that are realistic are guys like Todd Frazier from the Chicago White Sox, who only has 1 year left on his deal, Mike Moustakas from the Kansas City Royals, who the Royals, from what I've been told, are contemplating internally how much they want to sell off this team, because they have five or six really good players that are going to be free agents here in the next year or two. And with the new CBA and with their small market constraints there in Kansas City, they're not going to be able to keep many of those guys. So Moustakas may be one of those third basemen on the move, and a guy that is serviceable but a huge drop-off, in my opinion, is Yonjarvis Solarte, who the last couple of years played with the Yankees and Padres. But all of that's a moot point, because I believe Justin Turner and the Dodgers will come to a deal at third base. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Okay, Kenley Jansen, you know, earlier in this offseason, I really was pessimistic about the Dodgers re-signing Kenley, but being here in Washington, D.C., talking to a lot of people involved in the process, there has been renewed optimism from my standpoint that the Dodgers can re-sign Kenley Jansen. And I was told yesterday the Dodgers have made a very competitive and fair offer to Kenley Jansen to keep them in the running to try to sign him. Now, I've reported this on Twitter, and you can follow me when I'm not doing the show here. This is our only show of the week, by the way, even though it is the winter meetings. This is our only show because of Clippers basketball and the Raiders on Thursday Night Football. You could follow me at @TheReal_DV and throughout the day hear me on with Petros and Money, given the latest updates the rest of the week. But going back to the other competitors for Kenley's services, the Miami Marlins are definitely in the mix. And at this hour right now, they are still in the mix for the services of the Royals closer, Wade Davis, even though there have been reports that the Cubs and Royals are very close to making a deal that would send Jorge Soler, the Cuban outfielder, to Kansas City for their closer, and also the Washington Nationals being in the mix. The Marlins are in the mix for either Kenley Jansen, Aroldis Chapman, and from what I've been told in the last hour, they have made a very competitive offer for Wade Davis. And what the Marlins are trying to do, because they really don't have the money or see the talent out there to get starting pitching, they're trying to do what a lot of other teams are trying to do now these days, and that's to try to shorten the game by adding a lot of really good relief pitchers. And they have two really good ones right now in A.J. Ramos and Bearclaw. I forgot his first name, but he's got a great last name, Bearclaw. It's nowhere near spelled the way it's pronounced. But the Marlins are trying to add a really good closer to complement those two guys to shorten the game. And from what I've been told, their owner, Jeffrey Loria, is a guy that loves the shiny new toy and would love to see Aroldis Chapman or Kenley Jansen in their uniform because they are the shiny toy of the winter. So the Marlins, I would say, are the Dodgers' toughest competitor right now for Kenley Jansen. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. If the Dodgers had a choice, who would you like to see as their closer? Considering everything I've told you, Kenley Jansen's going to command 5 years upwards of about $80 million. So is Aroldis Chapman. Or would you prefer giving up somebody to get Wade Davis for 1 year? What one of those three options do you think is the best fit for the Dodgers? 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. All right, I told you Brian Dozier is going to join us a little bit later. The reason why I bring his name up is because I have spoken to multiple sources that have told me that the Dodgers and Twins have discussed specific players that would send Brian Dozier to the Dodgers and a prospect or two to the Twins to bring him here. He has 2 years left at about $20 million, and in case you're not familiar with what he did last year, he hit about .263 and hit 42 home runs for the Minnesota Twins. And you'll hear from Brian Dozier at about 8:35 tonight on the trade rumors and specifically what's going on with him and the Dodgers. From what I've been told from different sources that have direct knowledge of the negotiations between the Dodgers and Twins, the Dodgers have an offer on the table. The Twins right now, it's in their court to decide whether or not they accept it. And from what I've been told, unbiasedly, the offer the Dodgers gave the Twins is a very good offer, but the Twins have a new front office in place, and they're a little hesitant right now to make a bold move trading a guy like Dozier right away as their first move and trying to sell that to their fan base. So it's a good offer. It's a good baseball offer. We'll have to wait and see whether or not the Twins accept it. So there's a lot of rumors out there for a lot of different players. I could tell you this for a fact. The rumors about Brian Dozier and the Dodgers and the Twins, that is very real. And could you imagine having a guy like Brian Dozier, who hit 42 home runs last year, playing second base, and the Dodgers bringing back Justin Turner? That would be a pretty good offensive infield for the Dodgers. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. We do have phone calls on the line, so we'll hear from Rich Hill and Dave Roberts in our next segment. So let's go out to Mike in L.A. You're on with David Vasse, live from the winter meetings in Washington, D.C. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Yes, I am. What do you have?
Hey, listen. Listen, Dave, do you believe we were only two games short of making the World Series? Do you think in any way, shape, or form we would have gotten that close without Kenley Jansen?
No.
No. They have to re-sign Kenley Jansen, give him 5 years, give him what he's worth. He's a farm prospect through the farm system. What are these guys, nuts? We don't have anybody to replace him with.
What about the other possibilities of signing Chapman or maybe making a trade for a guy like Wade Davis?
Listen, Chapman wants to stay on the East Coast. He's made that perfectly clear. And as far as Jansen, he's not even 30. These guys are nuts to think not to sign this guy.
Well, they're trying to sign him. They are trying to sign him, Mike. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Toluca Lake. Jim, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Jim.
Hi, David. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks.
Been a long time since we talked. I think the last time I talked to you, they referred to you as the youngster, and it was Doug and Big Joe.
That was a long time ago, yeah.
Long time ago. You've done a great job, man. Just the analysis you gave tonight on these guys was really professional stuff. I'm very proud of you. We're fellow Notre Dame Knights.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. I was there long before you. I was there when Goosen and Foley were there.
Okay, I got you. Tim Foley, yeah, former Montreal Expo. That's right.
I'm definitely a Kenley Jansen guy, especially when I'm in Dodger Stadium. I see him come out of the bullpen. I just like him. He's commanding. He takes the mound, and he works it, you know? So I would pay him whatever you got to pay him. Like the previous caller said, you know, he's young still. Relatively young, and he's just commanding out there. He's like a kind of a mini Rivera out there.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. I think there's something to be said about keeping your own, especially since the Dodgers have invested so much in him as far as converting him from a catcher, trying to develop this cut fastball that has made him an elite pitcher that has been one of the top closers in all of Major League Baseball the last couple of years. I think there's something to be said about that, and I think it would be great if they kept him. But I don't think he's the only closer that could help the Dodgers be successful in the ninth inning. Now, I do believe you have to have a proven guy at the back end, and I think the Giants realized that, and that's why they signed Mark Melancon yesterday for a four-year deal at $62 million. But I think if the Marlins do come in and sign Jansen, I would not be upset if they sign Aroldis Chapman, and I would not be upset if they made a deal for a guy like Wade Davis, or even find somebody else that's a proven closer that can lock down the ninth inning. I think the Dodgers have a lot of options, and I don't think it's just as narrow as Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, well, I actually like Wade Davis more than I like Aroldis Chapman, even though Chapman, I mean, he's got that huge fastball, and he's very impressive on the mound. But he always looks to me like a pitcher who needs one more pitch.
Yeah, I think in 3 years, if for some reason he loses fastball velocity, I'm not sure if he's the same guy. And I've tried to gauge and poll baseball people about that, and it seems like that's the consensus. A lot of people are not believers in him if he loses his fastball velocity from where it is now to maybe even 95. You never know. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, Jim. Let's go out to Sierra Madre. And Josh, you're on with David Vasse, live from Washington, D.C.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing? I hope you're doing well. I hope you're staying warm in D.C. I was just over there a couple weeks ago. Man, it was cold. So I hope
it's still cold. Luckily, the way the winter meetings are set up at this hotel, it's like a biodome where you just stay inside and everybody just loiters in the lobby.
Glad to hear. Yeah, it was freezing when I was out there. Well, like everybody else was there, I'm going to join in the Kenley Jansen Love Parade. I mean, obviously, he's a homegrown talent. He's been a great closer for us. I mean, you want to keep him. But the thing is about free agency, other teams want him. The Yankees, obviously, are trying to get him and or Chapman, and I've heard they've made offers to both of them. So that may not be realistic. But like you said, they have to have a closer. I would love to get Wade Davis. It sounds like the Cubs and the Nationals may be a little more ahead of them than we are. But hopefully they can find something. Like, you know, I guess I'm not exactly sold on Chapman, especially how poor he did in the playoffs. But, you know, I guess he'd be an option. Maybe David Robertson from the White Sox. He'd be more of a last resort, but at least he has closing experience. The point is, you can't go into the season with Pedro Baez as your closer. I'm sorry. That just can't happen. And so you've got to do that. I really hope they do sign Justin Turner. I mean, he is a hometown guy. He sounds like he wants to be back. But like you said, get the deal done. I would definitely love to get this Dozier guy. I admit I haven't seen enough of the Twins over the years to gauge him.
Who has?
So everything that you've been saying and all the guys are saying, he'd be a great addition. An infield of Gonzalez, Dozier, Seager, and Justin Turner would be awesome. So hopefully we get some moves going. I mean, you know, the other teams have shown, like the Red Sox, Dombrowski, were showing that, you know what, they're willing to take big steps to try and improve their team. So hopefully the Dodgers are not far behind on that one.
All right. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, Josh. We're going to take a quick time out here on Nissan Dodger Talk. When we come back, more of your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And you will hear from Rich Hill and Dave Roberts in our next segment. Plus, coming up at about 8:35, 8:40 tonight, you will hear from Brian Dozier. Had a chance to corner him at the Under Armour event last night here at the winter meetings. David Vasse live in Washington, D.C. on Dodgers Radio, AM 570, L.A. Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk, live from the winter meetings in Washington, D.C. David Vasse with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 866-987-2570 is our phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up in our next segment, you will hear from Dodger manager Dave Roberts, plus from the man that is being connected to the Dodgers via trade. That's Brian Dozier, the second baseman for the Minnesota Twins. Had a chance to catch up with him yesterday at an Under Armour event. In case you missed it, starting in 2020, Under Armour is going to be the new provider of all Major League Baseball uniforms. And Clayton Kershaw was there as well and had a chance to talk to him today about how his offseason's going. Remember last year, you know, when he came back from that back injury, I think a lot of people really took for granted the fact that back injuries as severe as his was, to keep him out nearly 3 months, just don't go away. And I think a lot of people are still concerned about how that's going to play out in 2017. He told me yesterday that he had played catch for the first time during the winter, yesterday actually, before he flew to D.C. for that Under Armour event, and he flew back out right after it last night, actually. He just flew in and out. But here is what he told us about how his off-season program is different than maybe years past with the way his season went and how it was interrupted with that back injury.
It's a lot more, I'm not having to subtract very much. It's more just like different and then almost adding more stuff just to keep healthy. You know, I think every player, you know, as you get a little bit older, kind of has to do that. And so regardless of back or not, it's probably what I would be doing. But yeah, everything's been going good so far. And, you know, been working out for a while now and started throwing today. So so far, so good.
And that's a good sign. And he also said it didn't hurt when he threw, which is also another good sign. But that's something that you as a Dodger fan should not ignore going into spring training or at any point in the regular season. Do not take it for granted that Kershaw's back is 100%, because it may feel good, but as you know, if you've ever had a back issue, you may feel great, and then all of a sudden, one day, you do one movement, and all of a sudden, that same back pain is back worse than ever. So I don't take it for granted, and I think people should take that into account when they watch Kershaw pitch next year as well. I'm not saying it's going to affect him, but I wouldn't take it for granted that it's never going to come back and bother him. So I think the Dodgers knew that, and I think that's part of the motivating factor of why they did give Rich Hill 3 years and $48 million, because when he is on the mound, he is really good, and they really don't have that guy that's proven like Rich Hill has been the last year and a half. I think Julio Urias is going to take another step forward and probably be the second most reliable pitcher after Kershaw in the staff, because Rich Hill only made 20 starts last year, and I don't think the Dodgers are under any illusions that he's going to make 30 starts or throw 200 innings. I know Rich feels that way, and that's the type of competitor that he is, but realistically, I don't know if that's going to happen. And we will hear from Rich in my conversation with him after his press conference yesterday in just a moment. But there's a lot of you that want to weigh in on what the Dodgers should do this offseason. And with the winter meetings, it seems to take it up to another level. And my question to you is, do you feel like Kenley Jansen is the best option for the Dodgers? Or do you think Aroldis Chapman, or even making a trade for a guy like Wade Davis, are better alternatives? 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Woodland Hills, my neck of the woods. Bob, you're on with David Vasse live at the winter meetings.
Dave,
hi, Bob.
Great to talk to you again.
Thanks,
Bob. I hope
Bob.
You and the two young ones have the best of Christmases this year.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. Obviously, everyone is speaking about the same thing. Justin, Redturn 2 has to come back. As you said, they made him a competitive offer.
They made a competitive offer to Kenley Jansen. They're still basically letting the free agent market play out for Justin, but I think they feel pretty confident that they could come to a deal with him.
Well, with him and hopefully the signing of Dozier, our infield will be stellar beyond belief. Seager coming into his own after this tremendous rookie season. Oh, my gosh. Just stars the limits. I think our relief pitching is the bigger concern. And frankly, from the obvious re-signing of Jansen, which we all hope, Robertson on the White Sox, I really think is a gem in the rough. I think he can give us multi-innings, like Cleveland's example, in stress situations. Bring him in fifth, sixth, seventh inning. But I think that's the new formula, Dave. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a drop-off from Kenley Jansen to David Robertson. He was not as reliable as a closer as he was as an eighth-inning guy. And I'm not against bringing him in, but he is owed about $24 million over the next 2 years. And I would be all for acquiring him to pitch the eighth inning. And if he is all you have as a closer, all right, that's fine. He saved 37 games last year in the American League. But I'm not sure about him being plan C for the Dodgers. But I'm all for acquiring David Robertson. I'm not, and if he has to be your closer, that's fine. But he's not on the same level as guys like Wade Davis, Kenley Jansen, or Aroldis Chapman. Let's go out to Gardena. Manuel, you're on with David Vasse, live from the winter meetings in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Let me just start cleaning
her up. Hi, Manuel.
It'll be 60.
Oh, what's he doing, you think? You think he's making a delivery order? What do you think he's doing? All right, let's put Manuel back on hold. All right, Manuel, you ready now?
Yeah, I'm ready. Sorry about that, man. I was dealing with...
What were you doing? Ordering a pizza? What were you doing?
Nah, man. I'm servicing a heater, man. There's folks that want to be warm tonight. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's what you do? You service heaters?
heating, plumbing, anything. So you let
me
know, Dave. Hey, I just want to give you a props, man. You've been doing a hell of a job. I think right now I'm going to give you the new nickname, the Deacon of D.C. Hey, I want you to let Farhan and Friedman know that the Dodger fans want a Red Samurai back. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Also, Kenley Jansen would be great, but I'm with you. I mean, worst case, I'll take Wade Davis or Raldis Chapman. You know what I mean? Those guys are nails. They've been through the fire. And, hey, I just want to see a Dodger title, man. I'm sick of it, man. We were in what? We were in freaking junior high, Dave. There's not even junior highs anymore. Let's get it done, Dodgers. Out.
All right, Manuel. Thanks for the phone call. And, yeah, I know a lot of people want to see that World Series championship back here. First time since 1988. And I got to be honest with you, watching that Cubs parade, I was pretty jealous of all those Cubs fans celebrating. And I could just see L.A. really doing it a lot better than they do. We've been there before. We know how to celebrate. Let's go out to Glendora. David, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk live from the winter meetings.
Hey, Dave. How's it going tonight?
It's going great. What do you got?
A quick question. I know we've been connected to a few trades and rumors. The one thing that I was just thinking about today is, you know, Lorenzo Cain, Wade Davis, right? Worst case scenario, you know, we don't get Jansen or we can't sign a marquee closer. You know, my thought was, what about maybe converting Tolles into a second baseman? I mean, he's quick. He can hit. He showed his, you know, he's up and coming. I mean, worst case scenario, we don't land a second baseman. We can get a left fielder and a closer, maybe convert Tolles into a second base. I mean, what's your opinion?
Yeah, that's kind of aggressive, David, and thanks for the phone call. For a guy that just barely made it back to the major leagues after sitting out a full year, that's a lot to put on him, and converting him and counting on him to play second base. I'm not sure the Dodgers are going to go that route, but Andrew Tolles is going to be a part of this team, and I'm not even sure he's guaranteed a spot on this roster coming out of spring training. I think the Dodgers would like to see him get more seasoning, and you know, you look at his numbers in the month of September and what he did in the postseason. He was in the low 220s, and I think the league started to figure him out a little bit, and he's got to find a way to make adjustments and learn how to hit the off-speed pitch more than just the fastball, because he seems to be just a fastball-hitting guy, and it worked for a period of time. But as you've seen with Kike Hernandez, the league catches up with you, and you've got to make the adjustments to those off-speed pitches, and Kike really didn't do that, and right now he's playing in Puerto Rico and hopefully learning how to make those adjustments. But Andrew Tolles at second base, that's a reach for me. I appreciate the phone call. It's time now to hear from a guy that I really enjoyed being around last year, and that's Rich Hill. And say whatever you want about that blister or whatever you think about the Dodgers giving him 3 years and $48 million. He was the best available free agent starting pitcher on the market. And the Dodgers got him, and I had a chance to catch up with him yesterday, and I was impressed by his skinny suit for his press conference.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm just getting getting over a little cold this early in winter. But, no, yeah, tough. You know, this is great. It's a great opportunity. We're extremely excited to come back to L.A. and just get going. That's it, and pitch. You know, looking forward to spring training and you know, all that stuff that's kicks off the season, and all the, you know, excitement around baseball, and get into the season as we naturally do, and go win.
A lot of people assumed that you were going to sign on the East Coast. What brought you back to wanting to pitch for the Dodgers?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things is that when you go and play in LA, you understand the passion that the fans have for the Dodgers. And, you know, for me, I love that. I love being in an environment where, you know, you're playing in front of 45,000 plus fans. You know, it's the NL West is a great division, and it's competitive every single night. I look forward to some really, really, you know, great games against, you know, the Rockies and the Giants this upcoming year. Those are going to be two really tough teams, and you know, just it's the whole environment for me. I love that. I love, you know, we've been in Boston, we've been in Chicago, we've been in New York, and I love those places too. But when you're in that environment in LA, the fans are so passionate that you can't help but it brings out the best as you as a competitor, and that's something that I love.
When you saw what happened in Chicago after they won the World Series and the excitement the city had for that, and the Dodgers having not won since 1988, can you envision something like that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and so close last year. But you know what, you learn, I think, there's a lot of experience that was gained from last season and looking forward to this year with the goal of winning the World Series, however, making sure that you stay on the path of consistency on how you're going to get there. And that's really just being persistent and having a good routine for everybody and you know, each player staying, in their lane, so to speak, and doing their job. And that's something that, for me, that's what I do. That's what I can provide and bring, is that consistency and work ethic and intensity.
When you talked about during your press conference pitching with Clayton, do you think you surprised him by your competitive fire? And do you think you surprised a lot of people that got to see you on a daily basis how competitive you were, maybe equal to his?
Yeah, I'm sure. When you meet people for the first time and they don't really know what you're all about, but when you go out there on the mound and you perform, that's my comfort zone. For me, is going out there and bringing that intensity and passion. I love those two words, but just bringing that out and that competitor inside of you and that fight that you never quit. The outcome may not fall in your favor all the time, but the effort is there and the consistency is there every single time you get to take the ball.
I'm not sure about your relationship with him, but did he ever give you a call to try to convince you to come back or try to recruit you?
Yeah, no, we had talked about it at the end of the year, and I knew it was a place that we would have loved to have been. And we're just really happy that we get the opportunity to come back and play in this this market, play for the Dodgers. And, it's incredible history. All the way, going back to Brooklyn and understanding that, the championships that were there and the players that came through there of the highest caliber is just something that you want to be around.
Rich, you were emotional on the mound a lot this year. During your press conference, emotional in a different way. Where did that all come from?
I think it's just the journey that we've taken to get to this point, and that just kind of hit me when I was up there. So I was, trying to tell myself, don't go there, but it's hard, and it's genuine. So it's something that, I'm extremely, excited about, and my family is excited about going back to LA and getting this opportunity. And, it showed. So hope nobody takes any offense to it.
I don't think anybody will. And we got through this interview without me asking you about your finger.
Right, yeah. So we'll just put that on the table for a long time.
All right. Enjoy your new skinny suit, and we'll see you back in spring training.
Thanks, Dave.
There he is, Rich Hill, signed a 3-year, $48 million contract with the Dodgers, made it official yesterday. A great guy and a great competitor. And it'll be good to have him right behind Clayton Kershaw next year in the Dodger rotation. When we continue on Nissan Dodger Talk live from the winter meetings in Washington, D.C., we'll hear from Dodger manager Dave Roberts. And for now, Minnesota Twins second baseman Brian Dozier. Had a chance to catch up with him. And we'll take your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. David Vasse, Dodgers Radio, AM 570, LA Sports. Welcome back to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse, live at the winter meetings here in Washington, D.C., with Dodger manager, the manager of the year, Dave Roberts. Does that get old when people introduce you? I don't know how many people have introduced you that way yet.
Yeah, that's the first. So it hasn't gotten old yet. It's quite an honor, Dave. And as last year we came up short, but there were still a lot of good things that came about. And, to see the buzz here in D.C. and the winter meetings, it's exciting. And, going through talking about players and trying to get better for 2017, but and seeing fans on the road, I know everyone's excited for spring training.
I know you had confidence in yourself, so did everybody else around you that knew you, but to be, I guess, validated in some ways and recognized in your first year getting that award, how much did that mean?
You know what, I think obviously the most important thing is to get the respect from the coaches, the players. But, no, you said it. There is a little bit of validation when you see the industry sees you in a certain way and you get an honor like that. That's something that can never be taken away. So there is something to that. But I do have belief in what we're trying to do with the Dodgers. So I kind of came out of nowhere last year through this interview process. So to get the job, my dream job, as I've said over and over, and to have the season we had and to get, you know, the Manager of the Year award, obviously that's exciting. And now I can close the book on 2016 and, you know, look forward.
What's this winter meetings like for you compared to last year?
It's a lot slower. As far as, you know, it was a whirlwind last year, just getting hired, and then, you know, shortly thereafter going out to Nashville for the winter meetings, and there was a lot of unfamiliarity for me. Mm-hmm. But this year things are slower, and it's not as fast for me. Mm-hmm. So I feel more comfortable being in the suite, being with our executives and front office and baseball ops guys and talking about players. So last year I felt, you know, run ragged a little bit.
It seems like going into these winter meetings, there is a possibility for more roster turnover than there was a year ago. And that's not a negative. It just may be different players at different positions. Is that accurate? Do you feel like there's a chance that you may have a lot more different faces at a lot different positions?
I think so. You know, obviously, you know, when you've got your second baseman that's free and the third baseman that's free, you know, there's an opportunity there. But, you know, obviously Justin and Chase did so much for us. So, and, you know, there's still some dialogue. And, you know, obviously with Kenley as a free agent. So it takes two sides to make a deal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every season, you know, I know fans get attached to players and as do coaches.
Yeah.
But there is turnover every year. And, you know, at the core of it, every organization is doing what they can to try to get better.
Fans got emotionally attached to Justin Turner, especially over the last couple of years. Where would you gauge the conversations that you're aware of? Do you feel like the door is still open? Should their expectations still be that there is a chance that he will be back?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the dialogue is still there, and both sides. And obviously, you know, Justin enjoyed his time in Los Angeles and loves the Dodgers, and you know, but he's got to look out for his best interest. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously things can happen either way. But, you know, it's completely understandable how the fans, you know, related and, you know, rallied around JT.
Dave Roberts, Dodger manager, is our guest live at the winter meetings. Now let's talk about players you can talk about. Adrian Gonzalez, who you know very well. Over the last 3 years, there's been talk about trying to get him off his feet more and more, but it's very hard to take him out of the lineup, as you know. Do you think as he's getting older into his career, that's something that there may be more emphasis on next year?
Well, I don't know if it's emphasis is the word, but I think that to be aware of as he continues to get older, a year older, and, you know, I do feel that, you know, if there's, depending on who we have available, you know, it's one component is to give him a day off, but you also have to have somebody in there that you feel mm-hmm. is competent and can be productive. So if we have that person on the roster, then it makes more sense to, you know, give Adrian a day here and there extra. But, yeah, I think over the last few years, his at-bat have gone down a little bit. And, you know, he's a heck of a player.
Yeah.
And as a manager, it's still hard to keep him out of the lineup. But again, it goes with who can replace him for that particular day.
Do you think he has to adjust maybe something as he gets older? I know he's talked about it and he's doing the boxing and all that. How much does he have to adjust as he gets towards the twilight of his career?
Constant adjustment. And I think that Adrian is one of those guys that's not afraid to adjust, and he's adjusted his off-season programs and obviously with age and how you prepare and how you stay, you know, stay fit or stay strong throughout a season as far as a workout regimen. But he's always tweaking things with his stance, his hands, and, yeah. You know, obviously they're definitely, and he's a guy that's receptive to it. So, you know, with now the game is around velocity, he's adjusted his swing a little bit. So he's a guy that if anyone I've ever been around that's willing to adjust.
I've got to ask you about Rich Hill. You guys make that official yesterday. I asked Clayton Kershaw this. I want to get your perspective. Were you surprised how competitive Rich Hill is? Because you usually associate that competitiveness with a hard-throwing righty. And I think sometimes people take it for granted that a player not the caliber of Kershaw can have that competitive fire. Were you surprised how competitive and intense he was?
Absolutely. I think for me, it's just the way that he comes across, the way he dresses. He's clean shaven and the hair is always in place. And so, you know, one of the first times he took the mound and he came in after an inning where he gave up a hit and he snapped and it was just, he was seeing red.
Yeah.
And so I was taken aback, but I just love the fire and, you know, obviously the starts that he gave us. And you know, he's just such a competitor, and I think the guys feed off that. So every time he takes them out, you can see the intensity from the guys on the bench, the infielders, the outfielders. So that's one of the things that, you know, when he can potentially mentor guys like Julio or Jose De Leon, Ross Stripling, and you got a guy like Rich Hill and Clayton Kershaw, those are good things.
Dave, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it. I won't grill you on the hot stove anymore. Thanks so much.
Dave, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
That was Dodger manager Dave Roberts from earlier today. And since I am here at Washington, D.C., at the winter meetings, I want to bring you every conversation and information I could possibly bring you. And I do have an exclusive interview with Brian Dozier, a man that has been linked to the Dodgers and Twins, from what I've been told, have had conversations about the Twins second baseman who hit 42 home runs. And before we end the show, you have to hear what he had to say about the rumors swirling about him being traded to the Dodgers.
You know, I've poured my heart and soul into the Twins community for a number of years now, the organization. I've been through the trenches the past 6 years with them and of losing seasons and all that. And it's for me personally, that's what kind of fuels you to kind of hope to remain with an organization because you want to be a part of a success there as a team. But at the same time, I understand it's a business. Obviously, your Dodgers have come up many a times, but it's one of those things. It's exciting, and if you don't embrace the opportunity to let all this soak in and stuff of seeing how teams value and that kind of thing, then you're missing out. I think it's pretty cool.
Have the Twins or your agent spoke to you about maybe bracing for a change in the near future? Has it gotten to that point yet or not?
Oh, absolutely. We've my agent Damon Lapa. We've had numerous talks, just because of first of all, that's his job to I guess brief myself on certain teams, the Dodgers and all these other teams that. To be prepared for if something does happen. He's meeting with the Twins tomorrow to kind of get, and I'm meeting with them tonight, and it's just one of those things that you kind of want to get a feel. Derek and Thad, they've done an amazing job of showing me the respect, I guess, and being upfront with me in phone conversations leading up to the winter meetings of certain teams and how it's going and all that kind of stuff, and that's something I value. They're very they've been very honest with me, which is really cool.
So I guess you expect to be traded?
You know, like I said, I understand the business. Would I be upset if I left the Twins? Obviously so. If you have that such a relationship that we've had for so long, it's which has been exceptional, that would be tough leaving. But at the same time, like I just said, I understand the business, and whatever happens, happens. But I'll leave you that I hope to remain a Twin. So.
When you were sitting next to Kershaw during this Under Armour event, did your mind wander to possibly be playing behind him? I mean, we could put in a word for you right now.
He was joking with me when we first talked earlier, but that's Clayton throwing a couple of jokes at me. But no, it's I'm just glad I don't have to face him. Number one, with even being in the American League and that kind of thing. So, but no, it's like I said, it is what it is, and we'll see what happens.
There he is, Minnesota Twins second baseman for now, Brian Dozier. And I'm sorry I couldn't get to the rest of your phone calls. We will try to take them next week, but I thought you had to hear what he told me. And I think you could hear in his answers, he knows something is definitely close to being traded, either to the Dodgers or somewhere else. But in case you missed the beginning of the show, I was told by multiple sources the Dodgers and Twins have discussed players that would bring Brian Dozier to Los Angeles and his 42 home runs from a year ago. That'll do it from Washington, D.C., the Nissan Dodger Talk edition from the winter meetings. We will be back twice next week, next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock and next Thursday at 7 o'clock. And I may have a very special in-studio guest next Thursday night. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast that at am570lasports.com. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help, and thank you for listening. We will be back next week. Have a great night, everybody.